This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 on opening day, Thursday afternoon, March 28th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It is indeed opening day for the White Sox and Cubs. We'll discuss the business of baseball heading into the 2024 season in our next segment. But right now, the White Sox and the Bears are involved in the quest for new stadiums. Let's get some insight into the process from Pat Quinn, former governor of Illinois, and just filed the papers for an advisory referendum that would put the question of public financing for a White Sox or Bears stadium, put that question to the voters of the city of Chicago. Governor, thank you for joining us today. It sounds like, though, this is an advisory referendum, but this is strictly for Chicago taxpayers to chime in on public financing for the stadium. What does this mean if the state gets involved or decides to not get involved?
Well, basically, the question says, should the city or state money, taxpayer money, be used to help the Bears or the Sox build their new stadiums, Rob? But I think having a referendum, as every other city does when there's stadiums proposed there, this is something we need in Chicago. 25 years ago, when the Bears remodeled Soldier Field into a spaceship, that cost $660 million in bonds. They won't be paid off until 2032. And we had no voice in that. And so the reason I submitted the ordinance yesterday is to give everyday people who pay taxes an opportunity to weigh in on whether this is a good idea to continue subsidizing sports franchises to build their new stadiums. I'm a sports fan. I'm going to opening day today, but they should pay for their own stadiums, not to have the public pay for it. There's other things that we need to invest in, like safety and housing and making sure we have decent health care for everybody.
Now, would this referendum only talk about money, taxpayer money, that would go directly to build the stadium itself? Because if you look at the White Sox proposal for the 78 in the South Loop, it's the stadium plus a lot of other stuff in that development, and you would need almost $1 billion just to get the infrastructure up to 21st century standards. Would that also be not allowed under that referendum?
Well, the proposal says, should we use taxpayers' money to build a stadium or a real estate development around it? You know, I think that's really the issue. You know, the state, both the Bears and the Sox, want to have all kinds of developments around it that they have financial interest in. When I was governor, I told the Cubs, the Ricketts, when they bought the Cubs, that the state would not be giving them a subsidy from taxpayers. They had to pay for it on their own, and they've done that. That's really the message I think taxpayers want to send to the Bears and the Sox. We're all sports fans. I'm a big sports fan, but we're also fans of the taxpayer, and we want to make sure taxpayers get a fair shake. And right now, the Bears proposal in particular is really way out of line. They want to tear down Soldier Field and just leave the colonnades after we remodeled it for them at the tune of $660 million. That doesn't make any sense. No business could get away with that.
And then very quickly, Governor, you were around city government when the White Sox were flirting with moving to Tampa in 1988. Of course, we can all cite chapter and verse, the midnight deadline and the creation of the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority in the summer of 1988. How does that debate back then differ from what we're talking about today?
I think really, both with the Bears and the Sox today, they want to do things behind closed doors. They want to make deals with politicians. I was not a politician in 1988. I was a taxpayer like I am now. And I think the bottom line is those kind of closed-door deals are bad for the taxpayer. That's why referendums have been used all over the country by different cities when these stadium proposals come up. We'll give the people a voice. The taxpayers should call the shots on whether or not this is a good idea, not just the insiders.
Pat Quinn, former Illinois governor, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an update on the business of baseball.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Major League Baseball faces a host of challenges as it heads into the 2024 season, reshaping the broadcast landscape, navigating gambling partnerships, all while also trying to attract younger fans. Let's get a status update on MLB from Mike Ozanian, assistant managing editor at Forbes and co-host of the Forbes Sports Money TV show that you can see on Marquee in the Chicago area and the Yes Network in New York. Mike, thank you for joining us today. And first, let's just start off by talking about the state of regional sports networks, especially as the cable bundle continues to deteriorate. There were a number of regional sports networks that were found themselves in bankruptcy proceedings last year. Where are we now going into the new season?
You're probably going to have, going into the next 3 to 5 years, 20% decline in the regional sports networks fees that get paid to Major League Baseball teams as these deals come up for renewal. Of course, you're referring to the sports networks owned by Diamond, which is slowly coming out of bankruptcy. The Padres and the Diamondbacks were two teams that Major League Baseball, in fact, had to stream their local telecasts because the Bally's brand, which is what Diamond calls their regional sports network, was no longer showing those games on local television. So it's a bit of a headwind for Major League Baseball.
And what does this mean as these fees get lower and lower and lower? What does this mean for the ability of teams to find new revenue sources to pay, to not only make payroll, but make bids on premier blue chip free agents? Because there was a time about a decade ago when a couple of franchises struck gold with $1 billion local rights fees and allowed them to go to the store.
Well, overall revenue will still increase, just not as fast. It'll probably increase in the single to mid-single digit rate over the next few years. And let's not forget, it's not the end of the world because some of that lost money from local television, in fact, a big chunk of it was made up for on the streaming side. So, you know, it's a bit of a speed bump, but stadium revenue is going to become increasingly important because baseball gets about 80% of its revenue from local revenue streams. In other words, each team keeps its stadium revenue, tickets, et cetera. It's sort of the flip side of the NFL where 80% is national. In other words, divided equally among all the teams and only 20% is local. So you're going to see teams like in your area, the White Sox, for instance, looking to get a new ballpark. Same thing in Tampa, same thing in Kansas City, same thing with the A's moving from Oakland to Vegas, because those ballparks are going to become increasingly valuable streams of revenue.
And then speaking of streams of revenue, Major League Baseball, like every other professional sports, is getting more involved in legalized gambling. They're opening up a sports book outside of Wrigley Field that is distinct from the ballpark itself. So that's part of the mix. And what does this mean for gambling as both a revenue source but also a potential threat to the integrity of the game?
Well, you know, you bring up a great, great question. I think the vast majority of people have only been focusing on the increased revenue and, of course, the added value that is to the teams themselves because of the increase in revenue. But I don't think enough people are looking at the potential downside. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you know, in sports, you know, we've had a few things which have raised eyebrows, you know, Shohei Ohtani. You know, we've had something in the NBA where the league is investigating some prop bets made on a player. There were some comments made on about during women's college basketball game by Reese Davis, where after somebody said, you know, these are my suggestions for bettors, he said, sounds like risky investments to me. You know, he later claimed he was kidding. But I think there's a very big potential downside here that no one's really looked at. And, you know, I don't know what it would take for that to happen. But if there ever, you know, occurs where there's a big mistrust in this and people start doubting whether these games are on the up and up, I think it's a big potential problem.
Mike Ozanian, assistant managing editor for Forbes and co-host of the Forbes Sports Money TV show that you can see on the Marquee Network in Chicago, based in New York. Mike, thank you for joining us today.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
When searching for a new job, you may have to explain gaps in your resume. Let's get some help from Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert, Robert Half in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. And what is the definition of a gap in your resume?
Well, anytime you have a good chunk of time where you don't show work, you know, for some employers that might be simply 6 months. For most, they're probably looking at a year or more where you don't have any employment listed.
And that is no employment. I mean, we're not talking about, let's say, I was in a situation but once I was let go from a full-time job about a decade ago where I did a lot of freelancing at media outlets around town. Would that count against the gap in your resume if you have some freelance work before you find the new full-time job?
No, absolutely not. You know, anytime you're doing freelance, consulting, contract, even, you know, working in the gig economy, that is considered work. And so you definitely want to list that out or show that, because that helps kind of fill in that gap.
And if you do have a gap in your resume for whatever reason, I'm guessing the primary reason is that you were the primary caregiver for your family and you had to concentrate on that as opposed to going to work full time. And if that does show up, what do you say?
You just be honest and sincere about the reason that you needed to take the time or about the length of time. I think, you know, again, with the candidate shortage in the market, companies are very open to hearing maybe why you had that gap, but be honest and sincere. There's no need to make anything up or feel nervous or rushed about your answer, because, you know, that makes it look like you're covering something up versus just explaining what happened.
We're talking about gaps in your resume with Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert, with Robert Half in Chicago. If you are the one conducting the interview and you are talking to a candidate who has a gap in their resume, why could that be a potential red flag? Why are you concerned about that resume gap? I mean, obviously, if you're at the interview stage, they think highly enough to devote the time to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, I think as an employer, I just want to understand why the need to have that gap or take that time. You know, I'm mainly interested in, you know, did someone just quit a job because they were frustrated and decided to take, you know, 3-6 months off and not look for a new job? It kind of shows initiative, or, you know, somebody who's risk taking that will just quit a job, or, you know, even in a layoff situation that you're not just immediately like kind of looking for that next opportunity. So, you know, I'll always be thoughtful enough to ask questions about it. I want to know more. I want to give an employee the opportunity to explain that to me. You know, when they don't, that makes me a little bit nervous, but I'll at least ask the questions to get there.
Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, the complicated advance of AI-powered chatbots.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know the The bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The founder of the failed cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, has dealt a hefty prison sentence. We're finding out more about the victims in a series of deadly attacks in Rockford yesterday. It's Technology Thursday. We're learning that chatbots don't have all the answers. And there's a rise in romance scams targeting older adults. We'll look at ways you can stay protected. WBBM business. Markets are mixed. The Dow is down just a fraction. The NASDAQ is down 27. The S&P 500 is up 1. We have 43 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies, topping out at 54. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A suspect is accused of committing a series of attacks in Rockford that left 4 people dead and 7 others injured. This is Rockford Police Chief Carla Redd.
22-year-old Christian Soto is in custody and being charged with the heinous act that took place yesterday. We have no other indications or any other reports that anyone else was involved in the events yesterday besides Soto.
The dead include a 15-year-old girl, a 63-year-old woman, and 2 men ages 22 and 49. No word yet on a possible motive. A high-tech financial fraudster will be spending a significant time behind bars.
A cryptocurrency pioneer has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for a $10 billion fraud scheme that collapsed the company FTX. Entrepreneur Sam Bankman-Fried has received a 25-year sentence for fraud and conspiracy. The 32-year-old was found guilty in November of using billions of dollars from FTX depositors, customers, investors, and lenders to gain influence and dominance in the cryptocurrency space. That included buying luxury properties in the Caribbean, private airplanes, and paying bribes to foreign officials. The judge said the sentence reflected there's a risk that this man will be in a position to do something very bad in the future, and said the jail time was intended to disable that ability. I'm Jackie Quinn.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed today. We welcome in Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And this week marks the end of the first quarter of 2024. And so far, the market performance this year has exceeded probably the expectations of the most optimistic person you know.
Yes, that's an understatement, but fortunately, it's justified so far by the facts. The economy has proven to be more resilient and stronger than most people expected. Corporate profit estimates are increasing. You've got the secular benefit of artificial intelligence and what it's going to do to the productivity of the country. You do have a gradual, frustrating, but a gradual deceleration in inflation. And today, the University of Michigan consumer inflation expectations continue to decline. You have the Fed on hold. And the only question is how many rate cuts you're going to have this year. So that's a pretty good cocktail for equity valuations. The negative is that there are pockets of speculation. You've got the meme stocks again. You've got, you know, Reddit, Truth Social, which are hard to justify the valuations. And we'll get a reality check in the next couple of weeks when corporations report first quarter earnings and give second quarter outlooks. But so far, so good.
And when it comes to the two stages of the rocket that have been powering the market so far this year, there is AI, and not only just the promise of AI, but what it's already doing now for productivity. But the other side, the other stage of the rocket is interest rates. And we came into 24 thinking there would be as many as 6 rate cuts throughout the year. Now we're talking about 3, and entering the conversation is 0. And that higher for longer may be the fact of life in 2024.
I think the market has come to peace with that and can live with that as long as the economy remains strong, profits continue to grow, and inflation does not reaccelerate. That would be the risk, that the economy stayed strong enough or reaccelerated, and you've got a reacceleration in inflation and interest rate increases were back on the table. But that's not the base case. And right now, I think the market would be fine with 2-1 or even no rate cuts as long as you could justify it by a strong economy and growing profits. And in fact, higher for longer would only ensure increase the probability that inflation will continue to decelerate over coming years. So the conversation has moved away from the number of Fed interest rate cuts to the progression of the economy, profits, and AI.
And then on the meme stock side of the equation, Reddit being a very obvious example, and then the other side, the another example being the valuation of Truth Social, even if you take all of the politics out of that discussion, it just goes to show there are a lot of people out there. They have some mad money to spend. And what kind of story does that tell about the market if people are comfortable enough to goof around?
Well, it tells you that you have to have some caution about valuations in certain sectors of the market. The question is, if those stocks crack, and my experience 55 years in the business is that they will crack, but can they crack in a vacuum without affecting the rest of the market, or would it spread to other sectors of the market? And I think you could correct those in a vacuum. The fundamentals for the rest of the market are strong enough. And I should have added to the list of positives that the market is broadening out way beyond just the technology stocks, which also speaks to the health of the market. So those stocks will correct, although, as you mentioned, in Truth Social, you do have the political aspect of it, which is hard to forecast and figure out. But they can crack without affecting the rest of the market.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, discovering some of the flaws in AI-powered chatbots.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Well, chatbots are machines. They can make some human-like mistakes. We welcome in Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder and editor-in-chief of Techish.com, based in Seattle. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. The promise of a chatbot is a more productive office. The reality, though, like the introduction of any new technology, is a little more rocky. So what are some examples of AI chatbot headaches?
Well, the examples are so long and vast, but, you know, really we are stuck in a hype cycle with ChatGPT and other chatbots. Very famously, giving people extra fingers in photographs, a range of various ethnicities with founding fathers and generated images, to significant concerns around environmental impact, intellectual property. Chat bots right now quite famously make things up, and it sounds so convincing. People have been caught very famously now, you know, with information that's just plain factually incorrect. And that's really the crux of it. There's been all this promise and all this hype, but the reality has been quite disappointing so far.
Well, one notable example from recent history is Air Canada, which utilized an AI chatbot in its customer service in the customer service portion of its website, and the AI chatbot basically made up a refund policy that the airline didn't was not in the airline's policies and procedures. And the court in Canada said, well, you still have to honor that, even though the AI made it up out of whole cloth.
Yeah, what I'm seeing a lot of companies do is a real marketing nightmare. They are saying, we have to come out with an AI-related product. And case in point is TurboTax and H&R Block. Both just said, hey, we have these great new AI assistants that are going to help you with your taxes. But if you dare to ask it a question that really can only be answered by a tax professional who knows your background, knows your particulars, then it's going to give you a wrong answer. And that may be more hypothetical than reality in terms of these particular tax chatbots. But the promise was this product, this new AI assistant product, and that is not what we as the consumer on the other side gets and sees. So it's not going well. And right now, every company, I get 5,000 pitches a day on some new AI bit of magic. And I just keep going back and saying, yes, but what does it really do? And stop thinking that putting AI in a product description makes it special. It doesn't.
We're talking AI headaches with Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder and editor-in-chief of Techish.com. If you take the hype out of the equation and just talk about the application itself, it sounds like you do have something that can be a productivity tool and will be a productivity tool, but it is also making you less productive because you have to fact-check everything the AI says. Like if you had an employee that made as many mistakes as the AI chatbot, that employee would be on some sort of performance review by now.
Yeah, you would be working with a pathological liar at best. You know, that's just the thing. You can use AI chatbots to brainstorm ideas. That's how I use it. You can use it to sort of get started if you're in a bit of a writer's block. It is notoriously bad at math and really bad at facts. So as long as you're not using it for math or fact, you're using it to maybe start a packing list or help you think of something to eat for dinner. Those very, very rudimentary notions are great and fine, but you have to know its limitations, period.
Well, if the AI says, yeah, that's the ticket, I know to check the facts. Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com, based in Seattle. Join us this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, watching for red flags to protect older adults from romance scams.
You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's a significant increase in romance scams, including those targeting older adults. Let's get some strategies to help steer clear of such situations from Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, host of the podcast What the Hack with Adam Levin, author of the book Swiped, based in Nashville. Adam, thank you for joining us today. And I think if you spend any time on social media, no matter how old you are, eventually you will get a friend request or a message from some beautiful something somewhere telling you they find you very interesting and they want to chat some more. And for most people, they say, you got to be kidding me. This is not a real person, and move on. But for some other people who may be very lonely, it could be the lifeline they're looking for.
Oh, no, totally. And this is a multi-billion dollar business. And the FBI, Interpol, there are massive efforts now going on worldwide in order to go after people that commit these kinds of crimes. But it starts, as you said, innocently enough. You'll be contacted by someone. Sometimes it'll be as if, oh, they made a mistake. But then they start talking with you, and then they will forward you a profile, or you will have seen their profile in a dating app, and it almost looks too perfect. I mean, they're incredibly beautiful, or they're very handsome, and we've seen where a lot of these profile pictures have been stolen from other people and then replicated and used on all kinds of sites.
when somebody looks too perfect, that should be the first alarm bell. The second thing is, if you start communicating with them and the first thing they want to do is get you off the site that you're on. So if it's a dating site, they try to be somewhat regulated, but they're going to try to get you into either email or a messenger or to WhatsApp or even sometimes on the phone. And then they'll start to move very quickly. They'll talk to you about creating a future together. They love you. Literally, you go from, hi, how are you on day one to, I either want to have your baby or I want you to have my baby on day two.
And then what if you have someone in your life who says, oh, I met somebody online and we're doing all of this stuff and I'm going to wire them money. Do you just literally just slap the phone out of their hand and say no? How do you pull them out of this?
Well, you really need to do that. The only problem is that a lot of people that fall for these romance scams don't tell anybody about it until much later on, after they've already started the process of either providing information, sending compromising pictures, or sending money. And then you go through the shift. First, it's my life, I can do what I want, to the, oh my gosh, I just realized I fell for something and I'm so embarrassed I don't want to tell anybody. So it's a very tough situation that a lot of families face. And we've had people on our show, for instance, who have lost anywhere from $100,000 all the way up to over $1 million in these romance scams. So they're very dangerous. People lose their life savings. And sometimes what they'll do is it'll start as a romance scam and then morph into a cryptocurrency scam where they say, hey, we can make you a lot of money, create what looks like a bank account that keeps growing and growing. And then when you ask to take your money out, suddenly you can't take your money out because you find out that it's a scam.
Adam Levin, thank you for joining us today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.